Be back, Baruch Hashem, for a new year, new shiurim. Parshas Bereishis is a new beginning, of course, and I would like to look at it with fresh eyes and share with you what I believe is a fascinating insight to Parshas Bereishis. And the more I thought about it, actually, the more I began to realize that I think this may even be a very important theme in all of Sefer Bereishis, and I'd like to share with you, and that is responsibility. You know, we talk a lot today about rights. Rights. Different people have rights. These ones have rights, and these ones have, everybody has rights. But to a certain extent, the word responsibility has become lost. And I won't say that rights and responsibilities are antonyms, and I'm not saying it's inappropriate to be deserving of rights. Everybody has certain rights. But rights, to a certain extent, speak to something that comes to me without work. I just deserve this because this is who I am, and I have this right. I have the right to be a citizen. As a Jew, I have certain rights. The color of my skin gives me certain rights. And because of the rights that I have, I therefore am deserving of something. It doesn't mean I have to do anything, but because of X, Y, or Z, I have rights. This is very much the call of the day in this country, the last number of years, and even the last decade. The word rights are being thrown around a lot and are being used, and I would even say being abused. But there's a word that's not being used enough, and that's the word responsibility. Responsibility means that I have something to do, and I have something to give, and I'm required to do something. And that's to say that, yes, I'm a citizen, but the citizenship may give me certain rights, inalienable, but to a certain extent, I am responsible to give back to my country. As a Jew, I have certain rights, but as a Jew, I have certain responsibilities. It's not just that I sit and rest on my laurels because I was born Jewish, but I have something to do, and I have a responsibility. To a certain extent, a ger, somebody who converts, has a stronger responsibility because they're forced to make decisions and they're forced to do something. But we, as Jews, we sort of rest and look at our hierarchy, and we look back at our lineage and our antecedents, and we just assume that what is, is. But the truth is, responsibility plays a critical role in our Yiddishkeit, and responsibility plays a critical role in being human beings, and in terms of being the people that we are supposed to be. And with that, I think if you take a look in Chumash Bereishis and Parashas Bereishis, you see this tension and a very strong sense of some who are extraordinarily responsible, and we'll see where that leads, and those who are not responsible, and we'll see where that leaves. If you take a look, really, in the beginning of all of Sefer Bereishis, Adam and Chava, the most first thing that you see about them is just this. They make a mistake. They do something wrong. And we'll read the Psukim, and we'll see very quickly and very clearly their fault, and the blame that we place on them is because they don't take responsibility. When I do something wrong, so part of doing something wrong means stepping up to the plate and recognizing that I've done something wrong and admitting my guilt. That's what we did the last 2 months of Elul and Tishrei, and certainly Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Tshuva is all about admitting responsibility, taking responsibility. I've done something wrong. In the Rambam's three steps to tshuva, the process that he refers to is not just aziva sachet, but there's charata. Charata is the first step in the process, and that means that I've recognized, I acknowledge, I'm moda, I admit that I've done something wrong, that I've made a mistake, that I've erred, and then and only then can I be mikabel al lahaba to change my future. That's what tshuva is about. Tshuva is about recognition. It's about responsibility. And we learn all about tshuva from this week's parsha, from Adam and Chava, from Cain and Hevel. And if you take a look in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph, immediately HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls out Adam, and after he sees that he eats from the Eitz Hadas Tovara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Hamina Eitz Asher Tzivisicha Levilti Achol Men Achalta," did you just not eat from the tree that I told you not to eat from? Now, God knows everything. So what should be the response of Adam Arishon? I mean, what should he say? We know that he did what he did. And listen to what Adam's response is. And it's so sad, of course, because this is what really changes history forever. Vayomer ha'adam, ha'isha asher nasata imadi, hi nasna li min eitz v'ochel. I didn't do anything wrong. My wife told me to do it. Right? I mean, I'm not going to take the blame. Somebody else told me to do something. It's her fault. She told me. I mean, it's childish. That's what our kids do. And we say, did you do that? Did you do that? No. Somebody else did it. Nobody else did it. There's toys all over the floor. There's milk spilt all over the kitchen. You see three kids. All three kids said, I didn't do it. It just happened to have been there, right? So that's what Adam Rishon says. Ha'isha she nasata imadi, he nasnan min etzvecha. You gave me this woman. You created her. Her name is Chava. And it's your fault that Chava is here. And Chava pointed me to do this sin. So Adam takes absolutely no responsibility. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you gave me the right. You gave me the life. You gave me Chava. It's her fault. I take zero responsibility. So now let's introduce Chava into the equation. Vayomer Shemel Kim Leisha. God turns to Chava because it's all her fault, right? Mazo Sasis. What did you do? Vatomer Haisha. Hanachash. Hissi Anivocha. Not my fault. It's the snake. It's all the snake's fault. The snake did it. The snake convinced me. Sly, slithery, tricky snake. It was the snake's fault. So here it is. Adam and Chava at the outset have an opportunity to change. HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically is giving them the opportunity on a silver platter. The same way that God has given us the opportunity to do tshuva throughout the Yamim Noraim. Here it is. I'm giving you the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. I'm giving you Rosh Hashanah. I'm giving you Yom HaKippurim. I give you Erev Shabbos. I give you Erev Shlosh. The opportunity is yours. Just talk to me and tell me. Admit, acknowledge. Note and recognize what you have done. And unfortunately, Adam and Chava are unable to do that. And as a result, we see the end of the story. Kadosh Baruch Hu turns to the Nachash and tells the Nachash, "Orata mikol behemar mikol chayas asada agachon chatelech v'afar sochal kol yimecha." So what's so fascinating about this is that Kadosh Baruch Hu really acknowledges Adam and Chava's taina. Adam says it's Chava's fault. Chava says it's the Nachash's fault. And what does God do? God says, okay, Nachash, you are going to be punished as a result, and you're going to be the most pained animal that exists in the animal kingdom, right? Mikol chayas asada, from all of the animals in the kingdom, al gachon chatel chavafar socha kol yimecha. You're going to have to slide around, you're going to have to slither around, you're going to walk on your belly, and you're going to eat dust. That's who you are. But what about Adam and Chava? How come HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't turn to Adam and Chava and call them out? Indeed, in the very next psukim, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does punish Adam, does punish Chava, and familiar with the punishments that Adam and Chava receive. Chava, of course, will be the pain of childbirth that all women ultimately will have, and Adam has the klala of b'zeas apecha toch alechem, the forced labor. There's going to be the responsibility that he's going to have. But if you take a look at the punishments fit the crime. Because no punishment is given unnecessarily, and no punishment is given to another individual if it's not meant to remedy something. You don't punish a child without thought. Every punishment has to have a cheshbon. A teacher has to punish, if you want to use that word, a student in the appropriate way where the student will learn. What exactly is the punishment that Adam give, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Adam and Chava? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Adam that forever and ever you will now have to take responsibility. You're not having inalienable rights. You're not just going to be able to eat from a tree and have everything that you want. Gan Eden is no longer. Welcome to the world of responsibility. And that's your punishment because you didn't appreciate, you didn't understand, you didn't take achrayus, you didn't take responsibility, you didn't acknowledge, you didn't recognize what I have given you. And therefore, b'zeas apecha toch alechem, you're going to have to wake up in the morning, you're going to take the train, you're going to get in the car, you're going to commute, you're going to have to earn your paycheck, and that's how it's going to have to be. And the same thing is true with Chava. It's not just going to be easy to have a child. There's going to be work. There's going to be labor. And both Adam and Chava receive the punishment, quote-unquote, called labor. They're going to have to work. There's going to have to be responsibility. There's going to be absolute requirements that they have. Hopefully, Adam and Chava will recognize the punishment. They'll understand the message and, in turn, in a timely fashion, be able to rectify the mistakes that they've made. But, of course, as we all know, Gan Eden is sealed forever. And never, ever will Adam and Chava return. Never, ever will their descendants return. And forever and ever, it's going to be our responsibility to be responsible. And from the outset of Chumash Bereishis, from Parshas Bereishis, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets up a world called responsibility. and if we want to live horizontally, and if we want to look the other way and not take responsibility, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will require us to send us a lesson in a very serious and an intense way to make us recognize that that's not the way the world is going to run. But what's most fascinating about this is that immediately after Adam and Chava are banished from Gan Eden, Adam and Chava have a child, as we discussed yesterday. And their names, of course, are Cain, who's the Bechor, and Hevel, who's the second. But if you take a look, you see something fascinating in the dialogue between Cain and Hevel. Of course, Cain is showed up by his younger brother, who brings a very, very beautiful korban that HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds favor in Hevel's korban. Cain is jealous. Cain, gam hu hevi mi bechoros tzorok. Cain also tries to bring a type of a korban that's going to find favor in the eyes of God, and he's unsuccessful. And therefore, as a result of Kadosh Baruch Hu turning to Hevel's korban and not to Cain's, vayichar leKain ma'od vayiplu panav, Cain becomes melancholy, depressed, saddened as a result of his younger brother Hevel, who brings a very, very wonderful korban. Vayomer Shem al Cain, lama charlach v'lama naflu panecha. What are you so upset about, Cain? What's getting you so unnerved? Why are you so disturbed and angry as a result of Hevel bringing the type of korban that Hevel has brought? Halom teitiv seisvim lo teitiv lefesach chatas rove. It's a very, very powerful pasuk. What exactly is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Cain? Why are you upset? Why are you annoyed? Why are you melancholy? Why are you down? You can improve yourself. Take responsibility. Do something and you will be forgiven. But if not, sin crouches out your door all the time. Kadosh Baruch Hu hints to Cain, and I would say even explicitly tells Cain, watch out, your father and mother made this mistake. They didn't take responsibility. Are you going to take responsibility or not? I've just showed you that the ball is in your court. You could take the bull by the horn. It's up to you. If you want to rectify a mistake, you can. Don't be melancholy. Don't be depressed. Don't just sit back and be angry, disturbed, disappointed that your brother has upped you and trumped you. Do something about it. That's what Pesach says. Lama naflu fanecha, lama charla, halom teitiv seis. Fix yourself. Get up. Do something. Don't just sit back. Vimlosetiv lefesach chatas robitz. This is the yisod of all sefer brachos. Look and do something. Don't just rest. Don't just get angry. Don't just get upset. Now watch what happens. Will Cain accept God's words? Will Cain learn the message? Will Cain understand what God has told him? Vayomer Cain el achiv. Vayhi biyosam basada v'yakim Cain el hevel achiv v'yahargeyu. And what does Cain do? Cain kills his brother. So Cain doesn't accept God's words. God tells him, fix, do something. And what does Cain do? Instead of fixing himself, he kills his brother. He misses the entire point. The Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks to him. Vayomer Cain el hevel achiv. Cain tells and speaks to his brother. They're in the field. Nobody's looking. Nobody could see what's going to happen. And instead of Cain making himself a bigger person, standing tall, and recognizing that he can change, he doesn't do so. Now it gets even worse, because if you take a look in the next pasuk, pasuk dalet, perek dalet, pasuk tes, vayomer shem el kain, ehav el achicha, where's your brother, Cain? What happened to him? Does this not ring a bell when a Kadosh Baruch Hu turns to Cain's father and mother and asks Adam, Adam, why did you eat from this eitz? Chava, why did you do it? So here it is. Cain is given one chance to fix himself and he strikes out. A second chance. God gives him the opportunity. Vayomer Hashem el Cain, ehev el achich. And if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi on this pasuk says, lihikaneis imo bedivrei nachas. God is giving him a second opportunity. Not only did God teach him that you could rectify, you could change, you could stand tall. He kills his brother. God still comes back and says to him, where's your brother? As Rashi says, Ula Yoshiv Yomer Ani Harakti Vechatasi. Look, maybe Cain will respond and say, I take responsibility. I made a mistake. I murdered my brother. Will Cain be able to admit that and recognize that? Vayomer, famously, Cain responds, Lo Yadati. I don't know. Hashomer Achi Anochi? Am I my brother's guardian? And again, the world falls into a terrible abyss. And in my estimation and opinion, it's all because of lack of responsibility. The world is unable to survive and to succeed if human beings are unable to take responsibility. If they just want rights, and that's all they're waiting for is to be recipients, and to be passive, and to be parasites, then they're not going to be able to create and to uplift and to successfully cultivate this world. Adam doesn't take responsibility. Chava doesn't take responsibility. And of course, it's a hereditary trait, and their son Cain doesn't take responsibility either. And thus, the world continues to fall to the depths and plummet into a society of irresponsibility, where there's a lack of acceptance of doing something. And of course, it's obvious, because a Kadosh Baruch Hu creates the world and is a nosein, is a giver. Kadosh Baruch Hu sees that I can't be in this world without a constituency, without people, ein melech below am, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to be a giver. Just like a king gives to the king's kingdom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to the world. And when one is simply a recipient and doesn't stand up and do something, the world cannot survive. And therefore, Adam, banished from Gan Eden, the world which was created, cannot survive, cannot succeed. Then they're banished and they go into what we refer to as Olam Haz in this world, and Cain has an opportunity twice to fix, to correct. Even after his korban is not accepted, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you can do it, you could do better. Then he doesn't do it, and he kills his brother, he murders his brother. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, tell me something, where's your brother? I'm giving you an opportunity. And again, Cain fails, and the world continues to fall and fall and plummet to the depths of almost oblivion, as we'll see momentarily. Skip 7 generations and enter Parshas Noach. And we meet a man who the Torah refers to as to being a tzaddik tamim, a righteous human being, a person who is completely righteous. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him the world is falling apart. And do you know why the world is falling apart? The Torah tells us, and Rashi quotes, the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to seal the fate of the world is because lo nechtam gzardinam ela mipnei hagezel. There's robbery, stealing, pilfering. What's the yesod? What's the bottom line of stealing, of taking something that belongs to somebody else? Do you know what it is? It's lack of responsibility. I can't do anything. I can't create something myself. I can't fashion a business. I can't sell timber. I can't log. I can't log water. I can't build a successful business with the animal kingdom. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to steal. I'm going to take from somebody else. Stealing, pilfering, robbery means that I can't take responsibility. I'm just going to use somebody else. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that the world continues to fall in this downward spiral called lack of responsibility, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lo nechtam dinam ala mipnei hagezel, I need to destroy and to finish this world. And that's what the Mabel is. Because from generation 1 to generation 10, from Adam to Noach, as we are familiar, that's 10 doros, 10 generations, as the Torah describes at the end of Parshas Bereishis, as the Mishnah tells us in the 5th chapter of Maseches Avos, we continue to see oblivion and abyss and a continuous downward spiral because of the lack of responsibility. It starts with Adam and it finishes with Noach. And their inability to take responsibility is what it's all about. But if you take a look at the end of Parshas Noach, you see something amazing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Noach another opportunity. Because even though Noach leaves the Teva, as the Torah tells us in Perek Hey, Pasuk Tezva, Veidaber Elokim al Noach Lemor, Tzei min ha-Teva, go out of the Teva, you and your family. Now, of course, Noach was unsuccessful. As the Navi will tell us, and the Haftarah teaches us in next week's Parsha, the Navi Yeshaya, we refer to the Mabul as Mei Noach. Mei Noach are the floodwaters of Noach. Because Noach didn't take responsibility, as Chazal tell us, he had the opportunity to daven for his generation, and he didn't. And if you rejumble the words Mei Noach, the words used by Yeshaya, it's Macheni. Macheni means to erase. I'm going to abolish, to erase, to completely recreate this world, and you are going to be erased. There's not going to be anything left. Because you, Noach, didn't take that responsibility. And if you look at the Psukim, what happens immediately upon Noach leaving the Teva? The Torah describes in Perek Tes, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayochel Noach Ish Ha'adama. Did I not just say at the beginning of Parshas Noach that Noach is referred to a Tzadik Tamim? And now all of a sudden he leaves the Teva and he's an Ish Adama. Because the spiral continues to fall to the bottom. And Noach has the opportunity to uplift his generation, and he doesn't. All that survive is his family, him, his sons, and his wife, and their wives, and the animal kingdom. No human beings are able to be brought into the Teva, and no human beings are able to be uplifted. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give you another chance, Noach. You're going to go out of the Teva. You're going to survive this flood that's going to really destroy the world for 40 days and 40 nights. And what does Noach do? Vayachel Noach ish ha'adama vayita karem. He plants a vineyard. And Rashi explains, and the Torah tells us, what type of vineyard is this? A vineyard of wine. That's what a vineyard is. Vayesht minayayin vayishkor. He gets drunk. The world is recreated. I'm giving you a second chance, just like I gave Adam a second chance. Why did you do this, Adam? I gave Chava a second chance. Why did you eat from this tree, Chava? I gave Cain a second chance. You could do better, Cain. I gave Cain a third chance. Cain, where's your brother? I've given you, Noach, another chance. You entered the table. You survived. I'm going to let you go out. What are you going to do? And the Torah tells us that he plants a vineyard. He gets drunk. How could he do that? And Rashi, if you take a look in Perek Tes, Pasuk Chaf, Vayachel Noach, Osa Atzmo Chulin. Noach made himself simple. He debased himself. He had the opportunity to be Mikadesh the world, to sanctify the world. Shehayelo Laso Tchila Benitia Acheres. You know what he should have done? He should have planted wheat. He should have made sure that people have what to eat. The first thing you plant is not a vineyard to get drunk with, but the first thing you plant is wheat in order that there should be sustenance for those who have survived. And thus these first 10 generations we see are unsuccessful at being able to take responsibility. And of course, it's no coincidence. It's all the beginning of creation. And human beings don't understand and don't appreciate how to live and what to do. And thus, these 10 generations fail in this regard, and the world has to be destroyed. Gan Eden, which was the planned world for all of us to live in, that was destroyed. Adam and Chava are banished. The world that we know it, Olam Hazeh, the beautiful world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in 6 days and rested on the seventh, that world also had to be destroyed. Adam, Cain, Hevel, Chava, Noach, Ishto, Ubanav, Shem, Cham, and Yefes, we don't know why they are unable to take responsibility, but they don't. But when you don't take responsibility, you know what happens? Worlds are destroyed and nothing is left. What do we know about Adam and Chava's lineage? What do we know from Cain and Hevel? Nothing. What do we know from Noach? Very, very little. There's little left behind. And therefore, as a result, the Torah begins. Sefer Bereishis, Parshios Bereishis and Noach. It's this what I believe is the common denominator in these two Parshios, the lack of responsibility, and thus the world must and is forced to be destroyed. But if you skip for a moment to the end of Sefer Bereishis, Parshios Vayeshev, Miketz, Vayigash Vayichi, you see the very same story. Yosef ve'echav, the story of Yosef and his brothers. And does anybody take responsibility for Yosef when Yaakov says, where is Yosef? What happened to him? So what do the brothers say? Here it is. There's the multicolored coat and it has blood all over it. Taraf, Taraf, Yosef, three words. Just like the question that God asked Adam and Chava, just like the question that God asked Cain, just like the opportunity that God gave Noach, the opportunity is given to Yosef's brothers by Yaakov. Where is your brother? Where is he? What happened to him? Taraf, Taraf, Yosef, they don't admit their guilt. They don't acknowledge their mistake. They don't tell their father that they sinned, that they threw him into a pit, that they sold him to the Ishmaelim, that he's in Egypt. They had the opportunity to rectify and to fix, but they don't do that. Reuven doesn't take responsibility. Yehuda doesn't take responsibility at that point. And therefore, as a result, Yosef is sent to Mitzrayim and Kaviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu again recreates the world because they all have to leave Eretz Yisrael. And just like the world of Gan Eden is destroyed, and just like Olam Haz is destroyed, and there has to be a recreation of the world with the Mabel of Noach, Klal Yisrael too are destroyed in Eretz Yisrael to a certain extent. They are banished from Eretz Yisrael and they go to Golos Mitzrayim. Because when you don't take responsibility, you don't do what you are supposed to do, worlds are destroyed. And of course, Yaakov has to emigrate to Mitzrayim. That's not what was supposed to happen. That wasn't the plan for Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael with his family. And indeed, everything turns, everything changes. And as a result, very quickly, of the lack of responsibility on the part of Reuven and Yehuda, as a lack of the responsibility of the brothers admitting their guilt, everything changes and Klal Yisrael is sent into Golos. This is Sefer Bereishis. This is a theme that we have shown, that we have seen from Parshios Bereishis and Noach. Parshios Vayeshev, Miketz, Vayigash, Vayechi. Lack of responsibility, the inability to stand up, to stay strong, to admit, to do tshuva, to be mischaret, to be ozev eslechet, to be mekabel al haba, is what really buries many and what destroys the world in Sefer Bereishis. But let's look at it from another angle, and we'll see momentarily that there are those who take responsibility, and that's what sees and shows a shift in all of Sefer Bereishis. And it begins really in Parshas Vayetze, the middle Parshas, not in Bereishis Enoch, and not in Miketz, not in Vayeshev, Miketz, Vayigash, Vayechi, but right before in Parshas Vayetze. Yaakov gives birth, and his wives, Rachel and Leah, to the 12 tribes. And after Leah has Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, she gives birth to a fourth son. And note his name, Yehuda. And what does Yehuda mean, as Leah tells us in the Torah describes, why have I named you Yehuda? Hapam Ode Es Hashem. God, I'm going to thank you. I'm going to acknowledge what I've been given. And Chazal comment that Leah is the first person that we see in all of Sefer Bereishis who walks the world, who acknowledges God, who recognizes Hashem. And she says, Hapam Odes Hashem. This time, God, I'm going to acknowledge you. I recognize you. I thank you. And as Rashi explains, that based upon the Ruach HaKodesh, it was understood that there would be 12 tribes. Each of the women understood that they would bear 3 sons. 3, 6, 9, 12. Rachel, Leah, Bilhah and Zilpah. And immediately upon Leah seeing that she was given the opportunity to give birth to a fourth child, Hapam Odes Hashem, I recognize you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I thank you, Hashem. I acknowledge you. And thus Chazal tell us that Leah is the first person to ever recognize, to acknowledge. Now, just like this hereditary trait of lack of responsibility goes from Adon and Chava to Cain, this trait of responsibility for recognition, for acknowledgement, passes on to Yehuda. Because Yehuda, what do we know about in Parshas Vayeshev? What happens when he errs? When he makes a mistake? When he has a relationship with his daughter-in-law Tamar? And Tamar sends the chosmos and the psilim, the signets, and says, Lemi haralacha, whoever these signets belong to, that is the man who had a relationship, and these are the sons, Er, Onan, and Shelah that will come from this relationship. And what does Yehuda respond, and how does Yehuda react? Does he hide? Does he run away? Does he blame? Does he simply say, just like Adam and Chava and Cain and Noach, Ha'isha asher nasata imadi, would it be somebody else? But says Yehuda, Tzadka mimeni, she's correct, she's right. She's absolutely correct, and as a result of what she said, I have erred. And Yehuda admits his guilt. He's the first individual to admit guilt, to do tshuva, to take responsibility for something. And therefore, it's no coincidence that his mother named him Yehuda, because Yehuda means to admit, to acknowledge, to recognize. And Yehuda takes responsibility. And to a certain extent, we'll take a look also in the Parshas as they develop, in Parshas Miketz Vigash, Yehuda also takes some level of responsibility for his brother Yosef. But maybe he could have taken more, and therefore he's held accountable. But who is Yehuda's descendant? Nachshon men Aminadav, L'shevet Yehuda. And what do we know about Nachshon ben Aminadav if you turn to Sefer Shmos? As Klal Yisrael and Parshas Beshalach are standing at the sea, they look behind them, and the Mitzrim are running after them. They look in front of them, and there's a tall, tall, big ocean. And somebody's got to jump in. What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu say? Nachshon says, I'm going to jump in. And Nachshon takes responsibility, and as the water is climbing up and reaching his neck, as the Gemara says in Maseches Sota, Higi Yamayim Ad Nafesh, the water reaches his neck, immediately then it's when the sea splits. And thus this hereditary trait goes from Leah to Yehuda to Nachshon ben Aminadab, because that's called responsibility. And what emerges from Yehuda, what emerges from Nachshon ben Aminadab, of course, is David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim Malchus. Because kingship in Israel means taking responsibility. Leadership means taking responsibility. A king in Israel takes achrayos, takes responsibility. David, Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayim, the kingdom of David will continue and will reign forever, because Malchus means the ability to take responsibility, and therefore Malchus belongs in which tribe? Shevet Yehuda. Lo yasur mi shevet Yehuda. Never ever, says the Torah, as the Ramban writes, an issur d'oraisa for any other tribe to take the mantle of kingship. It belongs in Shevet Yehuda, but it stems back all the way here to Sefer Bereishis, beginning with Leah and continuing to Yehuda, to Nachshon ben Aminadav, to David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, is that sense of taking responsibility. And what do we call ourselves today? Yehudim. That's who we are. We are Yehudim, because being a Jew means being a person of responsibility, taking achrayos. And therefore, first and foremost, our name and the way we are referred to as Yehudim, because we are Moda al Ha'emes. We acknowledge, we recognize. We recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we recognize when we make mistakes. And we're willing to admit our guilt, to acknowledge when we do wrong, and step up to our responsibility, not just to rest on our laurels and not just to accept rights, but to be responsible human beings, be responsible Jews, to be responsible human beings, to take care of the things that we are required to take care of. And therefore, that's why our name, why we are called Yehudim, because to be a Jew, to means a Yehuda, is to be a Moda, to be an acknowledger, to be somebody who admits, to be somebody who understands, and somebody who takes responsibility. You asked me about Avram Avinu, and now I go back, and you will show you exactly where Avram Avinu falls in this discussion. After Cain and Hevel, and after Adam and Chava, and after Noach, enters Avram Avinu in Parshas Lech Lecha. Now I want to begin by reading you from the words of the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph, discusses Avram Avinu. And in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Halacha Gimel, the Rambam writes as follows. Kevan uben arboim shana hikir Avram esboro. At the age of 40, Avram recognized his creator. The Ravid argues, the Ravid says that Avram was really 3 when he recognized God. But the Rambam writes, ben arboim shana, at age 40, Avram recognized his creator. It's already a debate in Midrashim. Kevan shehikir viyada hischil hashiv tshuvos abnei ur kasdim. Immediately upon Avram Avinu recognizing, acknowledging, knowing that there's a Baal Habira, knowing that there's a master of this world, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that there's a human being, and his name is Avram, who looks, who searches, Shehikir, Viyada, he knows something and he recognizes something. Hischil ha'eschil tshuvas abrei Ur Kazdim, the people of Ur Kazdim, who will read about the end of Parshas Noach and in all of Parshas Lech Lecha. They don't recognize God. They are over the Avodah Zarah. V'laroch din imahem. Avram engages them in debate. V'lomar she'en zu derech ha'emes shatem holchem. Avram says, you're not doing the right thing. You're not acknowledging and recognizing the creator of the world. V'shiber hatzlamim. Avram breaks all of the idols. V'hischil lahodia la'am, and teaches the people. Shein roi lavod ela leloka ha'olam. It's only worthy, it's only appropriate to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo roi lehishtachavos, and he, God, is the one who is appropriate to bow down to. U'lehakriv u'lenasech kidei shi'akiru kol habruim haboim. This is who Avram Avinu was. Avram Avinu sees a world where everybody is worshiping idols. Now, what does it mean to worship an idol, just like the world was destroyed as a result of the mabul of stealing? Avodah Zarah is the very same crime. It's the very same thing. Avodah Zarah means I'm not taking responsibility for my actions. I'm serving something else that's inanimate. It's easy. I don't have to do anything. I serve an idol. I give an idol to eat. I give an idol to drink. I worship an idol. I'll worship the sun, the moon, and the stars. But there's no responsibility in Avodah Zarah. It's easy. I don't have to do anything. It just means that I'm serving something without having to give anything. And as soon as Avram sees this and recognizes this and notes that there must be a God who's created the cosmos, the sun, the moon, and the stars, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Avram Avinu, you recognize me? Avram says, I recognize you. And what does Avram Avinu do even without being asked? He goes out to teach, to look, to search, to find people and to tell people as he does and as Sarah does, invites them into their tent and to teaches them Torah. And as the Rambam continues that this was such a dangerous thing for Avram Avinu to do, Kevin Shigavra Lambera Yosef Bikesh Amelech Lahargo, they wanted to kill Avram Avinu because he was willing to take such responsibility and to stand tall, not like Adam, not like Chava, not like Cain, not like Hevel, not like Noach. Bikesh Amelech Lahargo, the king was going to kill him. Naselones Viyatza Lacharan, he went to Haran. His chilamor velikros bekol gadol, he started to call out. Lechol ha'amo lehodiyam shesh aloka echa lechol olav aloi raya le'avod. And Avram Avinu continues to teach and to tell people all about God and all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So yes, after Adam and Chav and after Kaim and Hevel comes Avram Avinu. And Avram Avinu is the first ever of his generation to recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu and to teach people. But if you take a look in the Kesef Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Karo, commenting on the words of the Rambam, he asks a question. Is this really true that Avram is the first to recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Is he really the first person to recognize that there's a God and to teach people? Asks the Kesef Mishnah, V'ha'ika Shem Ve'ever. What about Shem Ve'ever? Weren't Shem Ve'ever doing the same thing? Don't we know that there was a yeshiva called Yeshivas Shem Ve'ever? How can that be? How can it be that Avram is the first? How is that possible? There were other great leaders, Shem, Ever, Chanoch, who the Torah tells us about. How can that be? Why are you telling me that Avram is the first? And how could the Rambam state and articulate and note that it's Avram Avinu who's the first? What about Shem Ve'ever? Listen to the answer of the Kesef Mishnah, and it follows exactly what we're discussing. Ule'inina Tmiya, says the Kesef Mishnah, Shetama. Yesh lomar dimi kara lesa, she'Avram haya bebavil, v'Shem ve'Ever hayu be'Eretz Kanan. Avram started in Babylonia, Mesopotamia. Shem ve'Ever were in Eretz Yisrael. V'Shem lo shiber, Shem didn't destroy the idols. Avram atzlamim, ela shaya korei umachriz emunas hayichud. What would they do? Avram would go out. He would teach. He would tell people. He would share his knowledge. V'Shem Ve'Ever Hayumodim Derech Hashem LeTalmideihem. Shem Ve'Ever would teach their students. Avolo Nisoru Likro LaHachriz Kmo Avram. Valkein Godla Ma'aloso B'Yosir, says the Kesef Mishnah. You know the difference between Avram and Shem Ve'Ever? Avram went out of his way to teach, to share his knowledge, to take responsibility, to teach other people about what it meant, monotheism. As opposed to Shem Ve'Ever, who built the yeshiva just for their students and their family, for their talmidim. That is not going to teach continuity, and that's not going to breed responsibility. And therefore, for Shem and Ever, there is no lineage, there is no descendants. But from Avram comes Yitzchak, and from Yitzchak comes Yaakov, from Yaakov comes the Shifteka, and from there all of Judaism and all of Klal Yisrael is built. Avram takes responsibility. Avram goes out of his way. Avram puts his life on the line. He has a death sentence out against Avram for doing what is you're doing. It's like Russia behind the Iron Curtain, and Avram is teaching Torah to anybody and everybody who wants to learn and to study. He takes responsibility. He sits on a soapbox and stands tall and strong and teaches about God. Me, Baal Habir, I can't be the sun, it can't be the moon, it can't be the stars, it can't be the clouds, it can't be the rain. There's nothing else and must be only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yachid Miuchad Melech Malchi Amlachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, it's Avram Avinu who has the zechus to be the first and the foremost. And for that that reason, the Mishnah tells us that Avram kibel schar shel kol adoros kulam, says the Mishnah Avos, not Noach, not Shem, and not Aver, because Avram does something unique and different than nobody before him did, even though there was Chanoch, and even though there was Shem, and even though there was Aver. Avram went out of his way to take responsibility for others. And thus we see, I believe, the theme of Sefer Bereishis is all about responsibility. Those who do and those who don't. And those who do, we see what emerges. From Yehuda emerges Malchus and kingship. From Avram emerges Yitzchak and Yaakov and Shiftei Ka. From Cain and Hevel, there's nothing left. From Adam and Chava, there's nothing left. From Noach, there's nothing left. Those who take responsibility and are willing to stand up and are willing to recognize a challenge and to face it, to acknowledge and to admit, even though it's hard and there's tension and there's pressure, it will be success. There will be continuity. And the fortitude necessary to be able to stand up to it will guarantee longevity and Klal Yisrael success. But those who don't will be unable to see success, and thus the progeny is not going to be there. And for that reason, if you take a look in Parshas Bereishis and Noach, worlds are destroyed. And the same thing is true at the end of Sefer Bereishis. Klal Yisrael are sent to Golus. But those who do take responsibility will be able to reap the benefits. The schar will come. Avram receives the schar, and from generation to generation, and that's exactly what Avram does with the end of Sefer and Parshas Vayera, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, "V'haleu sham le'ola, take your son as a sacrifice," and Avram can't believe that he should do that. How can he do that? That's his entire lifeline, its entire progeny, that's his schar. But nonetheless, Avram is willing to do it, and we see what emerges from that is our ability to receive tshuva throughout Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, all b'schus, the Akeda of Yitzchak. Taking responsibility is something we have to think about and to seriously recognize, especially in a generation where we see that lack of responsibility and people not standing up and people not doing what they are supposed to do and just accepting and expecting that people should give to them and just to be recipients and to have things come to their lap easily and simply. Things aren't built easily and things don't come by chance. People need to be able to recognize, to look into themselves, and to slowly but surely take responsibility, something sorely missing in our generation, something sorely missing in our country, and it's something that we have to do. It starts, of course, with family, with friends, with those closest to us, and then we branch out to the broader world, to the community, to the broader community. But this is something we need to ponder, to think about, and to consider, especially after the Yom Tovim season, after Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, as we begin Sefer Bereishis, and as we see what's taking place in the Chumash. Responsibility, responsibility, responsibility. Achrayus, achrayus, achrayus for ourselves, for our family, for our friends, for our community, for the world, in this world and the next. Amir Tzashem, wishing everybody a wonderful day, a good week. Shavua Tov and Gurvach.